Bible out. We're going to look at the Christmas story there in Luke chapter 2. Everybody settle down, get your seat. Luke chapter number 2. I want to bring you a classic Christmas thought from this scripture this morning and give you a message the Lord's give me in Luke chapter number 2. Well, we got the baby here now, Sambo. Is he here? Where's that new baby at, Jamie? Stand up there and show him to us. Amen. Just brand new, just born the other day. 2 or 3 days, ain't even dried yet. I've had him in the dryer the last couple of days. Amen. He's coming. Hold on. I'm ringing, brother. Turn it down just a hair. There it is. Stand up there and hold it for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give him a big hand. Amen. He's just about a Christmas baby, wasn't he? Amen. All right. Now, your job is to scan the crowd while I preach and make sure nobody's cutting up, and you're going to tell me if all these kids are good. I've got something for all the kids that didn't come on the bus if they're behaved. Okay, you got that? Amen. He's going to be watching you, and she'll be taking names. Put your name on the board if you're mean this morning. Luke chapter number 2 this morning. Let's all look in our Bibles in Luke chapter number 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Much to do has been made over the last part of verse 7. Now I'm going to make a little bit more of it this morning. It said there was no room for them in the inn. No room for them in the inn. I think that it's extremely, extremely important, downright scary, that the Holy Spirit chose to put them words in the Bible. With all that stuff going on, most important event in world history taking place, and the Lord just tacked it on there because there was no room for them in the end. Now, God is in heaven could have made it to where there could have been room for them. God could have fixed it where somebody got sick and couldn't come, or there would have been an extra room somewhere, but the Holy Spirit allowed the people there, all motels, to be booked when Jesus was born. And the Bible said there was no room. No room for Mary, no room for Jesus, and no room for Joseph in the inn. They laid him in a stable, in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I want you to listen to me this morning. And I'm going to preach to you on the subject, no room for Jesus. Isn't that the way the world's always been? The world has always been that way. They ain't got room for him. They have not room for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one time we was coming up the road, me and these boys, and we seen somebody laying on the side of the road, and I thought he was a dead man. I thought he was dead. And they said, "Stop, there's somebody on the side of the road." And we stopped there, and this man jumped up, and I've told you before, he jumped in the car. And it was an old man, drunk, been drunk for, looked like for weeks and months. And we hauled him up the road miles and miles and miles, coming up from through Georgia, from Florida up that way. And we stopped. We said, "Buddy, we'll put our money together and get you a motel room." And we stopped at this motel. It's a pretty nice place. And we took that old fella in there and said, "We're going to pay for it. Won't this man a room?" And they told us, said, "We ain't got no rooms." That's what they said. They said, "We ain't got no rooms." And I knew they had rooms. I mean, you could tell they had rooms. Parking places all over there. And I thought, you know, they just don't want that guy in here because he stinks, because he's you know, smells bad. He's a drunk. They might think he'll mess up the place or something like that. Well, that's the way the Lord was. They have no room for him in the end. Now, I've been preaching a long time now, and I've noticed that what's wrong with people today is we don't have room for Jesus. We don't have time for him. Some of you sitting right here this morning, Christian people, you've got time for everything else. You've got time for ball games. You've got time to go shopping. You've got time for eating out. You've got time for TV shows. No room for Jesus. We let our life get crowded up with so much stuff that we don't have room. I'm talking about Christian people. We can get involved in so many things that we don't have room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody asked one time, it was Christmas, and they said, "Well, Chris, you ain't going to have church Sunday, are you?" I said, "Well, sure we are. Sunday, ain't it?" They said, "Well, it's Christmas." And I thought, well, in our thinking crazy. They think, surely you're not going to have church on Christmas Day. Well, listen, that's what Christmas is all about. We ought to shout when it comes on Sunday to honor Him. But what we've done, we've just crowded it up with so many different things that we have no room for Jesus. No room for the Lord Jesus Christ. They said years and years ago that an old man, old farmer, dressed real rugged, real bad. Y'all, what do you mean? Help me with them kids right over yonder. Everybody on them back four rows. Look at me now. Look at me. Don't move again. Don't move again. Don't pat your head. Just look at me. Just look at me. I hate to embarrass you, but you're embarrassing everybody. But then, be still and don't move. Now look. Listen, those men, that old man came to that hotel in Baltimore that night, and he stood there, and he come trying to get a room, and they said, "We ain't got no room." They said, "We don't have no rooms." And they said, "We turned him away." Later they found out that it was Thomas Jefferson, the Vice President of the United States. And they got a letter, and they sent a letter and said, "Oh, Mr. Vice President, we are so sorry." They said, "We didn't know who you was. We just want you to know you can have the best room in our motel. Anytime you want it, you come back anytime. We'd be honored to have you." And boy, I tell you what, he said, "Wait a minute. If you don't have room for an average, poor, dirty American farmer, then you don't have room for the President of the United States, the Vice President." That's what the Lord does. He come in that stable, meek and lowly. He come to this world. The world knew him not. He come in plain clothes. He didn't come with a big hoopla and a bunch of bands playing and all that. And the world said, "We ain't got time for you." One of these days when he comes in the clouds and he's going to set up his kingdom and run this world for 1,000 years, they're going to say, "Oh my goodness, we didn't know it was you. We didn't know." And he's saying, "Hey, you didn't have room for me then. I ain't got room for you now." You know what the Lord's going to do with you one of these days, what you're doing with him now? You know the Lord's going to do with you at the judgment what you're doing with him today? You got room for him, he'll have room for you. You push him out, he'll push you out. Amen? I'm telling you, they have no room for him. Now what I want to do this morning, I'm going to give you this message by way of an illustration. Now, I'm going to get some men here to help me now. I want Jason, here just a second. Why don't you stand right there? All right, he's going to stand right there this morning. Hey, Michael, why don't you come up here just a second? Why don't you stand right there? How old are you? 9? 17. All right, he's going to stand right here this morning. He's 17 years old. How old are you? 8? He's 17. Stand right there. Stand right here. Now look at all them people out there. All right, and you see these two ugly fellas right here? I hate you'd have to look at them for a few minutes, but I'm going to use them for illustration. Amen? It's shining light, boys. Amen. We are the shining light, boys. We're going to shout. Amen. We're not going to be ashamed of Jesus. We are the shining light. Everybody's talking about shining light girls. We're going to have some shining light boys. Amen. About time, ain't it? And you know what? Them boys are going to represent you. Now, let me straight something else here. Brother Ray, I want you to help me just a second. I want you to come and stand right here. All right. Brother Ray is going to represent another stage of life here. All right. Now, see these young guys over here? They're going to represent being real young. Brother Ray is going to represent being a little bit more than young. Middle age. You know, somebody said, "What is middle age?" Middle age is always a little bit older than what you are. And middle age is when your idea of a happy hour is a nap. That's what middle age is. And so Brother Ray is going to stand here and represent middle age. Then I'm going to have, let's see. Come here, Robbie. I'm going to use Brother Roby here. Now, Brother Roby's not old at all. He's a young man. He's a young man. But let's just imagine he's old. All right. He's 80 years old. He's not really 80 years old, but we're going to imagine it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's a country bear jamboree singer's here this morning. And he's going to stand here. He's going to represent old age. Now, you got this. These two guys here represent youth. This guy right here, he represents middle age. This brother over here represents old age. He's not old, but he's going to represent old age. He's not middle age yet, but he's going to represent middle age. Now, everybody look at this. If you notice the way your life goes, start out like that little baby laying back there. You start out with my associate. Where did my associate pastor go? She done took off. But anyway, you stand out right here. You stand out right here. There she is. Come up here, Jessica. You get up here right now. Her real name is Stacy, but she's dead today because she got on that camouflage. She's going to stand right here. She's representing real young. Then she gets to be a teenager. Then you get in your 30s, like Brother Ray. And then you get in your 80s, like Brother Roby. All right? This is youth. This is middle age. This is... All right. Right over here on the other side. Brother Ray, you come up here and stand beside him. Now, Brother Ray is a young man, but I'm going to let him help Brother Roby here. They present. All right. Here's two old men. Notice they keep getting bigger and bigger as they go this way. What we got to look forward to, fellas. Amen. As you can see, these two men may not have room for Jesus, but they have not missed a meal lately. Amen. All right. But they don't have room for Jesus. They don't have room. You know, most people their age ain't got room for Jesus. Most guys their age don't have room for Jesus. Go out there and talk to them. They ain't got room for Jesus. You say, well, I'll get a little older. Go out there and talk to them his age. They ain't got room for him either. And if you think I'm kidding, go try it. Go talk to the elderly people this morning. They still ain't got room for Jesus. Now, the Bible said it goes like this. It said there's three things the devil uses on you. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You know what I found out? I found out when you're young, it's the world. And when you're middle-aged, it's the flesh. And when you get older, it's the devil. And that's why it's so hard to get young people or older people saved. Because the devil's had all them years to harden your heart. Now, all you teenagers that come on them buses, you look at me this morning. This is a process. This is what's going to be happening to you guys. You may think right now that you're a teenager and you're going to stay little forever. But you're going to snap your fingers and be this age. And then you're going to turn around and you're going to be this age. And then next thing you know, you're going to be this age. Somebody said one time, when I was a babe, I laughed and wept. Time crept. When I was a child, I daily grew. I walked and talked. Time walked. When older still, I daily grew. Time flew. Soon I shall find and traveling on. Time gone. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that nobody can restore. And if you're not careful, the devil will cheat you out of it here. He'll cheat you out of it here. He'll cheat you out of it here. You'll die one day without God, and the Lord will have no room for you at the judgment because you had no room for Him. Now, let me show you what you're like. You know what you're like? You're like a man playing checkers, and he's playing checkers, and he's dying with a disease. And he said, and you said, there's a doctor out here who can help you. And he said, no, I'm going to jump in. Don't you think you need to go to the doctor? No, I'm going to jump. That's what people are like. They're like a man playing checkers, and they got the medicine there, and they're sit there and die before they'll go take that medicine. You know what you're like? You're like him driving down the road with his car running out of gas. And he's passing gas station, saying, stop and fill up. You said, I ain't got time. I don't have room for that. I don't have time. That's where, listen, you're a sinner and you're dying. And the Lord's saying, I need you, I need you, I want you, I'm going to help you. And you're just passing by Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, saying, don't have time for that. Don't have room for that. I got football this evening. I got party tomorrow. I'm going to party Friday night. I'm going to get drunk this weekend. I'm going to live my own life. No room for Jesus. You know, somebody said, well, I can't believe that wicked, low-down innkeeper wouldn't let the Son of God in there to be born, wouldn't let Mary come in there and have baby Jesus. How awful. And yet some of you are sitting here tonight, this morning, doing the exact same thing. You don't have room for him. You don't have room for him. Heard about this woman. She had a baby, and they was going to celebrate its first birthday. Baby was going to be 1 year old. So all her and her big shot high society friends got together, and they're gonna have him a party. And they all came to the party, and they went to this nice restaurant, and they was ordering, and they said, well, where's the baby? She said, he's at home. You didn't think I'd bring him, did you? We're here to celebrate. I can't celebrate that little brat. And it was his birthday they're supposed to be celebrating. Now that's the way people are about the Lord. Oh boy, we're getting a week off for Christmas. Oh boy, we're going to party. Oh boy, we're going to have ham and turkey, and we're going to have all kind of stuff. You didn't think I'd mention the Lord, did you? Well, I ain't got time to fool with Him. No room for the Lord. When you're young, it's the world. When you're middle-aged, it's the flesh. And no other thing keeping these guys from getting saved but the pure devil. You listening? All right, let's go through these three stages just a second. When you're young, it's the world. All right, fellas, you can be seated. Now, y'all remember me and up here. These young guys, you know what their problem is? Their problem's the world. Your problem's the world. You know what you teenagers, your problem is here this morning? Your problem is the world. You know why teenagers want to go out and get drunk on Friday night and try some pot and try to do this and try to have fun and everything? Because they're impressed by the world. They think, oh my man, this is a cool movie. This is a cool video. This is a cool CD. And that's why they're so impressed with the world. They said, I've got plenty of time to think about God. I'll wait. You talk to most teenagers here. Are you a Christian? Don't have room for him, preacher. I don't have room. No room in the inn. No room in most teenagers' life. How many of you tried to get a teenager to come to church this morning? Some of you probably invited people, but they didn't have room for him. They didn't have room. They had to go here. They had to go there. They want to go over here. They want to do this. They want to do that. Can't come Sunday. I'm going to do this. Can't come next Sunday. Going to do that. You know what teenagers' problem is? Teenagers' problem is the world. And the devil will make sure that you teenagers see enough of this world so that you don't have room for the Lord. It's sports. And it's school functions, and it's dances, and it's dating, and it's eating out, and it's going to the mall, and it's going swimming, and going hiking, and going camping. The devil makes sure that young people see so much of the world, they don't have room for the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Amen. You see, the Bible said there, at the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, you know what messed up the prodigal son, the young man? The world. He said, man, I'm going to go to the far country. That old boy's sitting there in his house. He's probably sitting around his house looking at magazines. And he lived on the Ponderosa, man, with his daddy and his other brother. And he looked there and he said, boy, I'd like to go see that. Man, I'd like to go see that. Man, I didn't know they had places like that. Man, I didn't know there was such a thing as that. I want to go. And the Bible said it many days after, till he got everything that was hid and headed out. He wanted to see that world. You young people, listen to me this morning. Your biggest temptation is to go out there and want to see the world and find out what's out there. Ain't that right, old folks? That's the biggest mistake that you can make as a young person. Somebody, you know what a teenager told me one time? They said, well, have you ever drunk, preacher? And I said, no. And they said, well, how do you know you don't like it if you ain't never tried it? I said, have you ever stuck your head under an 18-wheeler truck when it goes by? Well, how do you know you wouldn't like it till you try it, fool? Listen, brother. Hey, listen, that's stupid. You don't have to try something to see if you like it or not. If God, that's what God give you a brain for. Say amen right there. Y'all worried me a little ago when you didn't say much amen after she sung and everything. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three. Yeah. Don't get in the habit of being quiet at church. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Say amen, brother. Listen, when you're young, it's the world. That old prodigal son, brother, he looked out there, he seen that world. He said, man, I'm going to get me a camel. And man, I'm telling you, that thing's going to have, I'm going to have fog lights and a 12-disc CD changer. And he said, I'm going to shine the hooves up with armor all and put some chrome wheels on it. And boy, my camel, I'm going to tie a do-rag around its ears right here so people know I party when I pull up the red light. And I'm going to put like that, you know, and I'm going to put some jungle thump in my CD player, and buddy, I'm going down the road, and you know what the Bible said? He got out there and he wasted his substance with riotous living. He hit rock bottom. That'll happen to you one day. You'll hit rock bottom. They all hit rock bottom. Britney's going to hit rock bottom. Amen. Michael Jackson done hit it several times. And all of everybody out there, they're going to hit rock bottom. They realize when you're young, it's the world. You know, somebody said, I heard a preacher say the other day, that most people use, watch TV, I think he said over 1,500 hours in a year's time, and you can read your Bible through 22 times the time you spent watching TV. You ain't got room for him, do you? You got room? You got room for everything else. Somebody said, well, I couldn't come Christmas, preacher. I was cooking. Well, Lord have mercy. If that ain't the sorriest excuse I have in my life. You can get up and cook early or cook late. No reason. Listen, you have room for the Lord. When you're young, it's the world. When you're young, it's the world. When you're young, the world. I know these boys in Marion years ago, and these boys, they come up, and you know, they got it by the world, and they seen it on TV and everything, and they said, I'm sick of living in Marion, old hick town like this. They said, man, we're splitting. We're going to California where they grow the good stuff. And buddy, we're going to live it up. They seen all these beach movies on TV and everything. You know how the world, TV puts it on there. They make you think the whole state of California is a beautiful beach with palm trees and beautiful people. And I've been to California, and I don't think I've seen about 10 decent-looking people, and the rest of them, I don't even know what they were.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Go downtown Los Angeles. You, everybody that walks down the street ain't one of these, we say all could be, you know, a California girl. It ain't like that.
Right.
Most of them ugly as a mud fence. They look worse than they do here in North Carolina. And all them, they got a bunch of peroxide blondes and it's like that, but it ain't near the way they make it look on TV. Well, them boys, I know them. They went out there and they stayed 2 weeks and they come back to Mary and said, man, we like to die. Said we lived off potted meat and crackers for 2 solid weeks. Said it cost us $500 for rent an apartment. And there's a lot of them like that this morning. There's a lot of them think, man, I wish I could go to California, New York, man. I'd live it up. Yeah, live off potted meat for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I like potted meat, but not 2 weeks. All you got to do to eat potted meat is just don't think of what it is. And I can do it, man. I like it. It's good. Ain't that right? Ain't that right, fellas? All the women's going. And all the men's going, yeah, that's good stuff. I mean, I don't know where the flavor comes from, brother, but it's good. It's lips and tongues and eyes and gums and any other thing you can think of. Honest, it really is. But I'm telling you what, brother, I wouldn't want it for no 2 weeks. I wouldn't want it for no 2 weeks, would you? Wasn't long, they was back in Marion. I said, man, I ain't never back outside. They said, the grass ain't greener on the other side of the fence. Hey, young people, let me tell you something. You know where the grass is greener? Over top the septic tank. That's right. You see a big green spot out in somebody's yard? Yeah. You know what's into that? The sewer.
Right.
That's what California is. Just one big old spiritual sewer.
Yeah.
Amen?
Preach,
we might should have hit them instead of Iraq. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. They've about done us more damage.
Yeah.
They've done us more damage spiritually than Iraq has. They've door souls to hell than Iraq has.
Yeah.
Amen? You say, Lord, in mercy, I ain't never coming to hear you preach again. I know I'm going to try to load your wagon this morning. I figured you probably wouldn't come back, but I'm just going to give you an earful today. When you're young, that world will attract you. Let me tell you, all right, let's mend the middle age. When you're middle age, it's the flesh. You see, when you get 25, 30, 35, that's when people, it's flesh, 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 buy me this, buy me that, cars, clothes, houses, the flesh. You know, that's when people move into that word, you pamper the flesh and the lust of the flesh. All the way through 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 80, 60 years old, it's the flesh. Brother, I tell you what, Felix in Acts chapter 24, he said he trusted in his funds and in his finances. He felt pretty good, and so he went ahead and said, no, I don't have room for the Lord. I'm busy. No room. I'm making a living. I'm working every day. See, when you're young, it's just, hey man, I want to get me some money and go out in the car Friday night. See, it's the world. Middle age, it's no, I'm making money. I don't have time for religion right now. I'm buying another house. I'm investing money here. I'm buying this. I'm buying that. That's what'll get you in middle age.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with some of you people sitting here this morning and people all over this world is people, when you get middle age, all you can think about is dollar signs from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. They run the restaurants. These are the people that run the motels. These are the people that build the businesses. These are the people on Wall Street. These are the people in Hollywood. They've moved from teenage years. They're not old yet, but they're right there in the middle. They ain't got time for the Lord. Busy making a living. Busy making a living. And then thirdly, when you're old, it's the devil. It's the devil. See, when you're young, you think, when I get a little bit and get married and settle down, then I'll have room for it. Then when you get middle-aged, you think, man, I'm busy, I'm working, I'm doing that. I ain't got time for it. I'll do that when I'm old. Then when you're old, the devil just grabs you by the neck right here.
Yeah.
You know how I know what I'm talking about? Because I've seen literally, thousands of people get saved since I've been preaching. With my eyes at the altar. And I can count on one hand how many people I've seen get saved over 70. Wouldn't you think it'd be the other way around? Wouldn't you think that all old people get saved? I mean, why shouldn't they? Wouldn't you think that? But they don't. And you know why? The devil wraps that cord around you when you're young. He wraps a little tighter when you're middle-aged. And by the time you're old, he's got you so full of pride and so full of the world and the devil that you still say no to God. I remember Riley Parkins. He's 70 years old. I led him to the Lord about 20-something years ago. I remember that old folk got saved. I forget his name. Come on the bus. Grady, Brother Grady, got saved there, and he lived for God until he died. I baptized him, and then I had a girl, a lady saved, Mildred, 77 years old, in revival back earlier this year at King James Baptist Church down in New York. 70-year-old lady on Friday night, and that's all I can remember. 30 years. And somebody called me one day and said, Brother Danny, can you go see my daddy-in-law, my husband's, Daddy is dying in Asheville Hospital. Will you go witness to him? I'm sure. What's his name? They told me his name. I went to Asheville Hospital. Went up on about 6th or 7th floor. I walked in there. I said, Mr., and introduced myself. I was the 6th preacher who had talked to that man. Number 6. And I went through that thing and I said, sir, oh, you're dying. He had days to live. He had days to live. Not weeks, not months. Days. I said, sir, would you like to get saved? And that man who had he's laying there breathing. I said, you want to get saved? He said, I ain't ready. What's he going to do? Go out and get drunk? I mean, is he planning a big party this weekend? See, that's what keeps you from doing it here. Is he investing in stocks and bonds? That's what keeps you from doing it here. What's his problem? Because when you get old, that wraps that noose around your neck tighter and to where you can't even respond to God. Because you've rejected him your whole life. I think the scariest thing in the world is to get older and not get saved. That's scary. Let me show you something. One, they say, out of about every person that gets saved after 25 years of age is 1 in 10,000. After 55 is 1 in 300,000. And after 25 is almost 1 in a million. Almost 90% of the people who get saved before they're 20. Yeah. Let me show you. How many people in here got saved before you're 20? Raise your hand. That's a good 95%. That's almost right. Why is it that when you say no to God here, it makes it easier to say no to God there and no to God there? That's why there's thousands of drunks laying in these hospitals and people dying with cancer and they still say no. No room for them. You won't make room there, you get a little harder here. You won't make room for him there, you get a little harder here. You die and go to hell. That man died that I was telling you about in Asheville Hospital a few days later. Man who cares only for himself when young will be stingy in middle age and a miser in old age. When you're here, it's the world. What's wrong with you this morning? The world got you. When you're here, flesh. When you're there, it's a devil. You can't explain it no other way. This always reminds me, this sermon, it's not like that over the years, but this sermon, this thought, is the last sermon my daddy ever heard preached. What I'm preaching to you this morning. He come to church one Sunday morning, two Sundays before Christmas. And I got up and preached this same scripture, this same thought, no room for Jesus. I didn't know it would be his last service. He didn't either. The next Saturday night, y'all that knew my daddy, you know how he was? He stayed out, went coon hunting all night. Walked the woods all night. He'd work all day, go run around the woods all night long. Beat anything you ever seen. He just all night long, walked in them woods. And he come home at 5:30 that morning. And he said, I'm going to lay down and rest a little while. Mom woke him up at 9:30 and said, Lawrence, I'm going to church. And he said, well, you go on. I'll be there for preaching. And Mom...
they called me and they said, Danny, you need to come over here. I said, what's wrong? They said, somebody wants to talk to you on the phone. I said, well, what's wrong? And there's an EMS man. He said, you need to get home right now. I said, what's wrong? He said, it's your dad. I said, you can tell me. I mean, I'm a big boy. He said, your daddy's dead, Danny. I said, I'll be right there. And I hung the phone up, went and got my girls, went and got in the car, headed over down to the house. And I told Carrie, the two little ones was in the back, Chris and Corey, and I didn't want them. And I leaned over and told Carrie, I said, Daddy died of a heart attack, so get yourself ready. We went in the house. There was my mom. There was my aunt. Everybody walking through the house crying. He's still laying there in the floor. And they was working with him. And Daddy didn't know that would be his last service. And my daddy did make room for Jesus. He drunk, had a bad drinking problem, but y'all know how it was. His drinking problem got about the best of him when he turned about 50. He come in one morning and he had a bag full of beer and wine. And he was getting ready to go preach on the street, me and these boys. And he came like that and he set it down on the table and said, that's it. And he didn't, you know, Daddy didn't know about the Bible and everything. Up where he come from, West Virginia, he said they wasn't a Christian except his aunt was a preacher. And he said a bag of beer down on the table. See, I used to, when Daddy'd get drunk, we was afraid he'd die, drink himself to death. And I packed his beer in my van and took it up to the neighborhood bootlegger, which some of y'all know, you know, before they voted beer and wine in, you know, where everybody bought it. And I remembered, I had Jesus is coming soon and letters that big on the back of my van, and I'd have it stacked full of beer in the back and back it up to the bootleggers and open the door and say, get it out. And buddy, I mean, that man, he like he was scared of me as I was an FBI. He said, and I said, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to watch you take it off his bill. I said, mark it off. I don't want you charging him for it when he sobers up. One day we was out street preaching. Me and these boys went out street preaching. And one boy was up preaching up a storm. Hell, hot, heaven, sweet, fire and brimstone. One of the boys came up and said, Dad. I said, what was that? Did you know there's beer underneath your seat? I said, no. He said, there's beer under your seat, preacher. I said, well, whoever did that, buddy's in trouble. And I said, no, really. I told him, I said, that's my daddy's. Sure it is. I said, no. I said, that's my daddy's. But I'm just hiding it from him so he won't drink himself to death. Well, Daddy come in that morning, and he set that thing down. He made room for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he put his hand up like this, and he said, I failed him when it come. He said, I've been there on my knees. And I'm telling you, I stood up and preached my daddy. And I went back and preached that night. I preached Daddy's funeral 2 days later, like that Tuesday or Wednesday morning. I said, he made room for the Lord. Have you? My daddy'd be in hell right now if he hadn't made room for Jesus that day. You don't know when you're going to die. And so when something really gets to me way, way deep, 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 deep down, I write a poem. And that did. And it has to, I mean, I don't do it very often. The only time I write a poem and something gets down in my gut, man, I mean, it's got to have my whole mind, body, and soul. And I wrote this poem to illustrate this message this morning, years ago. And it's simple, and it goes like this. No time for Jesus when I'm young and free. No time for church, for the Bible for me. No room for Jesus when I'm a grown man. I'm busy making a living, doing the best I can. No room for Jesus. I'm old and gray. I'll live good enough. I'll make it my way. Now as the time comes to die for me, only now it is I'm beginning to see. When at heaven's gates I stand and plead, what a fool I've been. There'll be no room for me. You know what the Bible said? It said there's no room for me. I see some people sitting in front of me this morning. You better start making some room for them. I ain't got time to go to church. Oh, you can wind up in the hospital. You can have plenty of time. Yeah. You wind up with a heart attack or a car wreck, something, well, you're going to have plenty of time. You better make some room for him. No room for Jesus when I'm a grown man, busy making a living, doing the best I can. No room for Jesus when I'm old and gray. I've lived good enough. I'll make it my way. Now as the time comes to die.